Mr. Scissorhands.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and his financial posse could very well announce another cut of a key interest rate today, the one banks charge each other on overnight loans. It's already only 1%. They could slash it in half or more. Believe it or not, some banks charge even less than that. We do know that it's not necessarily what the Fed does as much as what the Fed says, namely about the health of the economy, that will likely drive markets today. Overseas, obviously, they're keeping an eye on that possible Fed rate cut, while reaction stateside may be, how low can it go? In Europe, it's much ado about the dollar and how it's trading against the euro and other foreign currencies. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
In recent days, foreign investors have been moving out of the greenback. They assume the Fed will cut short-term interest rates again today. And that will mean that money deposited in the U.S. will earn a derisory return, a half of 1% or even less. And the dollar doesn't now seem quite as attractive a place for foreigners to put their money. Professor Ian Marsh of the Cass Business School.
People are just looking for safety. America was the safe place to go. It probably is no longer because there's big uncertainty over what the Fed will do in the future.
Once the Fed has cut interest rates close to zero, it may have to resort to all sorts of unconventional measures to pump up the money supply and pull the U.S. economy out of recession. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And how are overseas markets reacting this morning? Trading is up in Europe. London's FTSE so far gaining, and markets in Paris and Frankfurt higher as well. In Asia, the markets were mixed. Hong Kong shares were up more than 0.5%. Japanese shares down more than 1%. The Dow was down yesterday by 65. It's at 85.64. NASDAQ down 32. The S&P 500 down about 11 yesterday. There's a meeting today of the FDIC board, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. You know, the FDIC is the safety net that covers your bank deposit up to $250,000. But your bank has to pay to be able to show that little sticker in the window, and the amount it shells out has to do with its assets. From North Carolina Public Radio, Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
By law, the FDIC is supposed to keep a minimum of 1.15% of insured deposits in reserve. They don't have that right now. So to get there, the FDIC will likely double bank assessment fees at today's meeting. Bank customers aren't told how much, but the exact amount each bank pays the FDIC depends on how risky its assets are. Professor Lisa Broom at the University of North Carolina says because of the financial crisis, highly leveraged banks will pay more than ever before.
I think the range will spread out so that there is more room to reward safe banks and more room to charge the banks that pose more risk.
The more cash and government securities on the bank's balance sheet, the less the FDIC payment, and the less cost passed on to customers. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Maybe you check out the social website Facebook to see what friends are up to, or how an old flame is coping with his or her loss, or to spy on some pictures taken 15 years ago during a not-so-nice time in your life. Guilty. It could also be a reminder of bad fortune. A court in Australia gave the go-ahead for a lawyer to use Facebook to let a couple know that they were losing their home after defaulting on a loan. He couldn't get in touch with them any other way. The couple's page and then gone private by the time the notice had been served, yet the lawyer says the attempt shows all reasonable steps had been taken to serve them that notice.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
This is a pretty scary economy, even for the investor with the thickest skin. Imagine what it's like for an entrepreneur who's never had to deal with a serious recession. Some are looking at the bad news as a learning experience. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Consider this. During the recession of the early 1980s, Bill Lynch was still in diapers. In the 90s recession, he was nerding out in middle school playing computer games. By the time Lynch and his best friend, Matt Tucker, landed jobs in Silicon Valley just out of college, the dot-com boom was well into its heyday and headed for a crash.
We started in 2001, right? And that was on the heels of the dot-com implosion.
What they started that year was Jive Software, a suite of online collaboration tools for business. Lynch says they were still pretty green, but they'd seen enough dot-com failure for an entrepreneurial lifetime.
The biggest takeaway from Matt and I were a set of anti-lessons, if you will. We're not going to do it this way. We're going to focus on a really great, viable product from the get-go. We're going to have a way to make money.
Jive Software now has 120 employees and offices in Portland, San Francisco, London, and Zurich. When the IT sector started looking sketchy this fall, they quickly downsized to get expenses in line with revenue.
The biggest risk is not taking action soon enough, or if you're going to cut anything, be it people or expenses, that you don't go deep enough, fast enough.
Riva Lazansky blogs about the startup economy for MSN Office Live. She says even though young entrepreneurs aren't seasoned by success and failure yet, they have some advantages over their elders.
They seem to like travel in packs, and they seem to just inherently share information with one another.
Translation, they understand the power of social networking and marketing on the internet. Lazansky says they also tend to be risk takers.
And I think it's really good to be a little bit fearless. When you start being fearful is when you start pulling back, and you never can grow your business with that attitude.
Of course, not all young entrepreneurs are the business equivalent of bungee jumpers. Zach Davis founded his web development company, Cast Iron Coding, a few years ago with a raft of student loans to pay off and a new baby on the way. Now he's heading into no man's land without a map.
Once you've been through this and gotten through it, you know that you're going to get through it, most likely again. I don't have that behind me.
Davis says business has been up every year since he launched, but he's not adding employees or taking on debt to expand until the economy turns around. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.